Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
It is draft day eve. We finally made it. We made it to draft day eve, which also means we are in the height of silly season, stupid season, moron season, imbecile season, a-hole season, smokescreen season, whatever you want to call it. We are knee deep in that bullcrap right now. And right now, nobody is catching more strays than the presumptive number one overall pick, Caleb Williams. Listen, everybody's known this dude was going to go first for at least a year now, maybe more. But suddenly now, in the final hours before the draft, there are red flags flying everywhere you look. Suddenly, everybody has something to say about this dude. That's right. Red flags! Suddenly, everybody has something to say about this dude, and none of it's good. Everybody has something to say about this dude, except for the GM with the first pick. In other words, everybody except the only guy that really matters, who is just waiting to sprint to his Caleb Williams draft card tomorrow night. This is why I couldn't give a damn about everybody else's red flags and everybody else's lava takes. The only people who care less about the red flags and lava takes than me are the Bears. You know, the only ones who matter, the ones who have the pick. Listen, I think that Caleb Williams is a mega talent. However, I'm not here to guarantee anything, because nothing is guaranteed when it comes to the draft. Certainly nothing is guaranteed when it comes to drafting franchise quarterbacks. And most of all, nothing is guaranteed when we're talking about a potential Bears franchise quarterback. Nothing is guaranteed. Nothing except the fact that this dude's going to go first overall. That much we know. That's a lock. However, that is not stopping anonymous. Let me reference that and hammer that home. Anonymous hot take artists around the league. And yes, you find them also in the NFL. That's not stopping anonymous hot take artists who are too cowardly to put their name to any of it from talking a bunch of crap about this guy anyway. Scared cowards. As an example, my guy Bruce Feldman put out his annual piece in The Athletic explaining that, quote, multiple coaches and scouts are questioning his readiness as a person, not a player, end of quote. Damning much. Questioning his readiness as a person, not a player. Yeah, at least that's not personal. I'm going to bet that none of the coaches or scouts that anonymously are questioning him and his readiness as a person, not a player, actually work for the team that's going to select him first. I'd be willing to bet that if any of those coaches or scouts were in fact sitting on the number one pick, they would have absolutely no problem deciding who to use that pick on. The guy that the team that actually does have the number one pick is using it. And they're using it on Caleb Williams. But we don't know for sure who these other coaches and scouts actually work for, because all these people spewing all this lava are all anonymous. I'd respect it so much more if they put their name to it. Just stand by it. What do you get out of that? Anonymous sources questioning this dude's readiness as a person, not a player. Yeah, that doesn't sound sketchy. That doesn't sound personal at all. Meantime, these anonymous tough talkers who will not put their name to it also say they're, quote, not sure about the wiring, end of quote. They're not sure, quote, how motivated he is to just win, end of quote. Still another said he, quote, gives off a Russell Wilson vibe. And here's another one, quote, lacks self-awareness. Keep in mind, not one person put their name to any of that crap. And maybe it's true. But if so, put your damn name to it. Cowards. a Russell Wilson vibe.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
I mean, come on. Why not compare the guy to Jamarcus Russell while you're at it?
Jamarcus Russell.
I mean, that's how you're going to do this, dude. We're going to comp him to Russet. You're going
to
say he's throwing off sack of potato vibes.
Like a sack of potatoes.
Listen, what vibe has Caleb put out there that compares to Russet dropping catchphrases like Broncos country, let's ride.
Broncos country.
Or claiming to do calisthenics on team flights overseas. Or creepily posting, Hey Seattle, from his bed.
We got a deal.
And filming the cringiest sandwich commercials ever made. And yes, that even includes the ones starring Jared the Molester. Now, I'm serious now. What is the huge offense that Caleb has committed to have all this bullcrap being hurled in his direction right before the draft? He paints his nails. He's got a pink phone case or a clear phone case. Pink phone, clear case. Pink phone, clear case. Pink case, clear phone, whatever. Pink case, clear phone, black fingernails, whatever. Getting emotional with his family after losing a game to knock USC out of Pac-12 contention. Y'all got to make up your mind on that one. Is he not motivated enough to win, or does the crying with his family show that he cares too much and he can't handle it? Which is it, haters? In fact, don't answer that because I don't give a damn. And the Bears clearly don't care. So does it really matter at all? The crying incident, apparently, though, is such an issue to some, it led to this viral take from the Pablo Torre Finds Out podcast. Check this out.
And I will tell you, he scares the shit out of a lot of NFL teams, too. The book on him is he's just kind of a weird kid. One GM told me it's like if Prince played quarterback.
It's like if Prince played quarterback?
Prince played quarterback.
That's the take. That's what we're afraid of. That really came from an NFL GM. And that GM was positioning that as a bad thing. It's like if Prince played quarterback. You know that GM just dropped the mic on that like, dang, man.
It's like
roasted. It's like if Prince played QB. Let me tell you something. Am I the only one that thinks that that actually would be a good thing? A cool thing? If Caleb brings even a fraction of Prince's talent and star power and electricity and it to the NFL, man, he'll be just fine. He'll be more than just fine. He'll be an icon like Prince. Did we all forget the way Prince was snatching souls on the court as a Hooper? Did we all forget that Prince showed up to play the Super Bowl and upstaged the actual game? That's your negative comp, anonymous GM? That's you trying to roast the guy that it would be like Prince playing football? Listen, I know it's stupid season, but that is stupid even for stupid season. Yes, the dude's a little bit different. Yes, you could even say he's a little bit weird. But you know what I always say? Weird is good. So is different. Different is good too, especially if we're talking about a potential franchise quarterback. You need a little different in that role, and especially in that town where it's going to be tough. You can't be just another ordinary dude. We'll see what happens when he gets to Chicago, but we know he's going to get to Chicago because the Bears don't give a crap about any of this noise, and neither do I. In fact, I can't wait to go see, quote, Prince play quarterback in Chicago. I'm here for it. I'm all about it. Honestly, how great would it be if he showed up to his Bears intro presser and he told the long-suffering Chicago fans, no need to worry, no need to cry, I'm your Messiah, and you're the reason why.
No need to worry.
I would die for you.
I'm your Messiah, and you're the reason why.
I would die for you. Wouldn't that be great? Or if he broke out that pink phone and just hit play. It'd be one of the greatest press conference moments in NFL history. These people have been waiting 70 years for a franchise quarterback. Imagine if their number one pick blows into town like that. And then imagine after that, he sits in his locker and tells the Chicago media, "Baby, I'm a star." And then they ask him, "Caleb, how many yards are you aiming to rack up in your career?" And he hits him with 777, 9311. Bid him for a gold jacket, man. 777, 9311. That's a lot of yards, yo. That's a lot of yards, 777, 9311. Be incredible. This dude could take the Bears to the Super Bowl and perform at halftime. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. I don't think that's ever happened. I don't ever remember Baconface picking up a guitar at halftime. And then he could even change his name to a symbol halfway through his career and make us all call him the quarterback formerly known as Caleb Williams, then turn around and change his name back to Caleb Williams. Prince as an NFL quarterback sounds like the coolest thing ever. That anonymous lava spewer thought that was the biggest roast ever. I mean, dude, it's like such a compliment. If that's the best knock that the haters can come up with in bullcrap season, then they're clearly grasping for bullcrap to sling this time around. How do you not have something better to do? Just watch what the team with the first pick does tomorrow night. And if they don't care about any of that noise, I don't either. Especially because I've heard plenty of the opposite from people who actually will put their name to it. People who actually have pride. People who actually have spent time with the dude. That's another thing. Part of these anonymous dudes are like, "Hey, man, I don't know the dude from Adam, but I haven't really spent any time with this guy, but I saw him crying with his family." What about the people that have spent time with him? "Hey, man, I've never once met the kid, but I saw him rocking nail polish." Yeah, but what if you have met the guy? What if you go way back with the guy? What if you've known the guy for years? What if you have worked on the guy's craft with the guy? What if you're the best quarterback coach there is? What if you're like Lincoln Riley? Or what if you're like Jordan Palmer? I talked to Jordan Palmer about Caleb Williams a number of weeks back. He knows him. He's worked with him. Nobody knows the mechanics of that position better than Jordan Palmer. This is what he had to say about Caleb Williams.
He said, "Like my goal is to be," I think the, what was the word he used? It was strong. I think he said, "My goal is to be legendary. I play the game to be, no, I play the game to be immortal." And I go, "Whoa, that's a big word." But I've known him since he was a junior in high school. He is, dude. And like, honestly, civilians like you and I might think that's crazy. But the other guys who play like that think they're the best player in the game, and they're trying to prove it. There's a handful of them every year. Those guys don't think like civilians. You know, they don't, like, they're not satisfied with success. And so with Caleb, when he said on my podcast he wanted to be immortal, I don't know, I'm just translating that into a different way of saying it, like be the best athlete ever. And he's off to a hot start.
You see, we civilians and these haters just don't get guys like that. They're thinking and operating on a different level. Back to this whole Prince analogy, like that was some sort of crackback. You know, Prince's best performances were in bad weather. Like, Prince transcended the genre, right? Not only was Prince worshipped by those in the genre, but those outside the genre. Athletes, entertainers. Like, you're going to call that guy Prince and think that's a bad thing? You think some rain or snow is going to affect his head? If I'm the owner of the Vikings and Prince is on the board, I would give away this year's whole draft stock and the next decade for that guy. I wish an anonymous critic would say, watching my show or listening to my show was like Prince playing radio host. Then I would know that I'm the coolest, baddest dude on the planet. I'd have a studio full of super attractive dancers. I'd probably have to go with way more purple. I'd have to get more eclectic with it. Get with David August to rework my wardrobe. But he could. He would. Then there'd be a bunch of groupies hanging outside the studio. We'd have to beef up security here to make sure that all the beautiful people were no longer throwing themselves at my feet. Maybe fix my hair. Hey, you know what? You want to sink a guy's draft stock? You want to come at a guy? You want to crack a guy? You want to hate on a guy? You want to sink a guy's stock? Call Drake May Nickelback. I'm not even singling out Drake May. I'm just saying, you know, Jane Daniels, Drake May, whoever. If an anonymous talking head or an anonymous scout or an anonymous GM is saying, hey man, I don't know, dude, I'd be really afraid about Drake May being Nickelback. Now that's a roast job. I might take pause if I heard that, but not Prince. I like Drake May. I like all the quarterbacks this year. I had Bo Nix on yesterday, but if somebody said, yo man, I don't know, dude. When I watch him, he reminds me of Nickelback. When I see him in the pocket, I think Nickelback. I don't think quarterback. I think Nickelback. And I don't mean Nickelback like a Nickelback in the secondary. I mean like the band. I'm definitely not. That's a red flag. I'm definitely not taking the guy then. Or like saying, for instance, Michael Penix is like Axl Rose playing quarterback. You know, what does that tell you? He's going to get super fat.
Fat?
Flake on every single meeting. Be an a-hole diva to everybody in the huddle and the building. And then walk off the field if he just doesn't feel like it. Or doesn't like a play call. Or isn't in it. And then in the postgame, reporters will ask, Penix. Why did you leave the field? Because the coach told me to take a shun-a-na-na-na-na-na-knee. I dare you. Find me a better open. Find me a better analysis of bullcrap season than what you just got. 24 minutes of it. Find me a better analysis of bullcrap season. Listen, I'm not guaranteeing this guy's going right to the Hall of Fame. What I am guaranteeing is he will go number one, and that there's a whole lot of bullcrap being slung by a bunch of cowardly, anonymous people that have nothing better to do. They probably haven't spent any time with the guy at all. It doesn't impact them at all anyway. They don't have the number one pick. What do you care? Clones, what do we want? when we're craving protein or we need more energy. Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in four amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? I'm speaking of Rome Odunze. Rome, my man, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you? Thanks good. For having me on.
It's so good to have you on. So you got Jim Rome interviewing another Rome that I'm not related to, which is an absolute first, dude. I love that. Let me ask, just right off the very top, have you ever met anybody else with either the first or last name Rome?
I haven't. I think this is my first time. I think there's the Romeos, there's the Jeromes, but not necessarily Rome, just Rome. So it's good to finally meet somebody else.
I love it, dude. Now you have. I was going to say, it's a tremendous first name. It's a great first name. I wish my parents had given it to me, then I would be Rome. But what's the story here? What did your parents tell you when you asked them, not when you asked them, but why did they name you Rome?
Well, I think I'm pretty sure my pops gave it to me. He was just a big, history fan, was a big fan of the Roman Empire, certain aspects of it. And, I think he just liked it and gave it to me, which is something I'm very grateful for, because I think it's a pretty cool name.
Oh, it's a great name, dude. I love it. I love the backstory, too. All right, so you're just one sleep away from the draft tomorrow night. Given all the hard work, the countless hours you've put in preparing for this moment, what's going through your mind today on the eve of the draft?
Oh, I think I'm just staying in the moment. I'm super excited, for to see all my family, honestly, and, enjoy the moment with all of them. That's truly what I'm looking forward to. But just staying in the moment, I don't feel, nervous or anything, honestly. Just kind of being in the present and, enjoying all that this opportunity brings. So I'm super grateful for it.
Rome Odunze joining us. You actually sound great given what it is, and it sounds like you are really calm and you're prepared for it. Like, your talent has never been a question, dating back to your days at Bishop Gorman High in Las Vegas, but you're as tough as you are talented. I bring this up because you suffered a broken rib and a punctured lung while recovering an onside kick in late September against Arizona, but you did not miss any games due to those injuries. I mean, how much pain were you dealing with last season, and why was it so important to you to not come off the field?
Yeah, it was tough, especially initially when it happened. The broken rib into the punctured lung was, a very unique injury and something I had never experienced before. And I think it's a unique pain, because when there's something wrong with your chest, there's too many organs in there to be like, thinking it's not anything serious. So it was definitely very concerning. But, got to give a shout out to the UW staff and all that they were, able to continue to help me through and heal up. And for me, it was just super important, especially because the next game, being played was against our rival in our home stadium. And I felt, the anticipation of up going on a really unique run, which ended in a national championship game. So I wanted to be there, be available for my team, and make sure that, I was making plays for them, regardless of how I was feeling.
All right, so I mentioned you put up huge, huge numbers. You teamed up with Michael Penix Jr. to form one of the most lethal quarterback-receiver tandems in the nation last year. How quickly were you able to develop that chemistry with him when he transferred in from Indiana? And what do you think he's going to bring to the NFL team that does draft him?
I think it developed, pretty naturally, pretty quickly. I think we both recognized that we had, a lot of talent, as well as, the wide receiver room as a whole. So we continue to put a lot of work with him in the offseason and learning the offense, which he had been in previous years, to, make sure that when we stepped on the field, we were, going to have success. So it was definitely a process, but something that I think we built up pretty fast. And for me, Michael Penix is quarterback one. I think he's very unique. in his skill set. He's very talented in that way, and also he's exactly what you want from a quarterback from a leadership standpoint in a locker room and the face of an organization. So from his skill set to on the field and who he is as a person off the field, I don't think there's anybody better.
All right, Rome, so the draft is being called the year of the quarterback because there are so many skilled guys. I mean, as many as six could go in the first round, but given the skilled group of receivers that you're a part of, do you think ultimately this draft may in fact go down as the year of the receiver instead?
I'd love it to see it go down like that, honestly. You know, I think people talk about the 2020 wide receiver class and how great, you know, they are. But, you know, I'd love to come into the league and have that same sort of impact and look back at years and be like, yeah, and talk a little smack to the other classes on our wide receiver class being the best. But, you know, something we got to go out there and prove and something I'm looking forward to, developing.
All right, so what about that class? I mean, obviously it's going to take a ton of confidence and toughness to be a difference maker at your position, generally speaking. I mean, you're always going to be matched up against lockdown corners. You've got to pay the price over the middle. Everything that comes along with being the guy. In your own words, what do you think makes you the best receiver in this great class of receivers?
I think for me, it's my versatility, and I think I truly do form, you know, a pretty complete wide receiver, as well as different skills to continue to build on. Of course, you know, I haven't hit my ceiling, but I think at this point in my career, I do a lot of things well on the field, whether it's contested catches or creating separation, and whether that's, you know, on the inside or on the outside or blocking for my running backs or for my other wide receivers on screens. I feel like I do all these things very well. So I feel like I provide a lot of versatility to an offense.
All right, so you're a young guy. You grew up watching the draft, I'm sure. I've got to ask you a couple of things about that. Like, you're one of only 13 guys who accepted an invitation from the league to attend the draft tomorrow. So with the entire world watching, how much time did you spend thinking about and selecting the right fit? And can you kind of clue us in? What did you go with?
I don't think I spent too much time. You know, I have a pretty simple fashion taste, so I just went with something very clean, very, very kind of simple in a way, but I'm adding my own little flash to it, hopefully adding a couple little accessories and pieces on the side to make it pop that just a little bit more. But it won't be nothing crazy, but something hopefully that people are impressed by.
I got that. So consistent with what you are, like clean, tight, going to do it. Precisely.
Exactly.
All right, so you see guys, when you also see guys kind of hugging it out with the commissioner, like, do you want that moment? Or honestly, at this point, does it seem kind of corny?
For me, I'm just going with a little a bro hug, you know what I mean, with a half kind of hug with a handshake in the middle. I'm not going on for the full hug or, you know, lifting them up or anything or going for the too professional handshake. I just want something right in the middle, like, you know, thank you, appreciate it.
Dude, you're the best. All right, so you've teamed up with Sharpie, and I can see why they'd want to be with you. What are you doing with those folks?
Yeah, me and Sharpie have teamed up. I'm fortunate to be doing this with Michael Penix as well. You know, we did things with the Sharpie signature at Combine, you know, training to make sure my signature is perfect for all those moments coming up in my rookie career where I'll be signing things. And, you know, I'll be doing that with the S-Gel pen. For me, I feel like I'm an elite athlete, so I want an elite pen. And, you know, it allows me to have no smear, no smudge, no bleed while I'm taking notes, while I'm signing, you know, contracts. So I'm super excited to part with them and something that I use consistently.
Bro, that is so tight. You are an elite athlete. You are an elite player. You deserve an elite pen to sign that elite contract, and you have an elite first name. Rome, really appreciate you, dude. Great to meet you. And, you know, we got to do this again. We have to do this again. I'm going to let you settle in, find out where you're going to work and live. But that's a blast, man. I appreciate you. Great job.
No, absolutely. Thanks for having me, man.
So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at G-Defy.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code GYM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code GYM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. G-Defy shoes. They are incredible. It's about damn time. Let me say that again. It's about bleeping damn time. Today's a good day, Trojan honks. Trojan honks wherever you are, mostly Orange County. Mostly Balboa Island, mostly Newport Coast, mostly Corona Del Mar, mostly the OC, but Trojan honks, wherever you are, today is a good day. And it's a good day because a former USC star running back is getting his Heisman Trophy back. And in case you missed the end of last hour, no, it's not the juice. No, it's not the juice's family. Now that Orenthal is no longer waking ever again. Nope. No juice miss celebration for y'all again today. Even if I did allow a merry juice miss celebration once, and understandably so, but once and never again. No, the former USC star running back who's getting his Heisman back is none other than Reggie Bush. Today is the day the Heisman Trophy Trust has finally decided to get their heads out of their collective asses and return Bush's 2005 trophy to its rightful owner and winner, Bush himself. About time. According to Pete Thamel, the dude who the Heisman Trust stripped of the bronze back in 2010 will announce today the formal, quote, reinstatement of the hardware to Reggie amid what it calls, quote, enormous changes in the college football landscape. You know, the enormous changes of players being paid right now through their name, image, and likeness. Kind of like Reg and his fam back in the day. But again, about bleeping time, you gave it back. And by the way, no credit in doing so. It was long overdue. For real.
For real.
Seems to me if there's one thing we can all universally agree on in the sports world, and normally I would say there is no one thing, but if there is one thing, it's that Reggie Bush should still have his Heisman Trophy. As I mentioned earlier, first off, vacating anything to me is just dumb as hell. Like what? You're going to undo that season? You're going to undo that championship? Like these things didn't happen? I think that's pretty lame. Are we going to ask Michigan to vacate the Natty that they just won? Is Harbaugh going to vacate that ridiculous 15-0 tattoo that he just got? Also, there's not one person anywhere that believes that Reg was the only one getting benefits in 05. Not the only one on that team. Not the only one anywhere. Come on. Not only that. The benefit, a guy whose biggest benefit was getting a potential agent to put his family up in a nicer home. That was it? That was like the death penalty for his personal Heisman? I'm glad he got it back. I'm glad he got it back because I think he actually put in more time in trying to get it back than he did in actually winning it on the field. And he had a lot of support too. A lot of support. A lot of support from the Heisman family, the Heisman fraternity, the guys that won the award. I mean, never mind pretty much every fan everywhere having his back. But former Heisman winners, too. Tim Brown has spoken up. Of course, Reggie's former teammate, Matt Leinart, has spoken up. Even idiot face, Johnny Manziel, who was able to keep his trophy despite doing idiot face things, has had Reggie's back. And was actually, like, threatening to boycott. He wasn't going to return. to the Downtown Athletic Club until Reg got his hardware. I mean, seriously, did you see Johnny Manziel's doc on Netflix? To think that he had his Heisman still, but Bush didn't. I mean, that's some laugh out loud bleep right there. I mean, Manziel admitted to taking all sorts of money, probably way more than Bush ever got. And Bush was way more of a player than Manziel ever was. But Manziel can keep his, and Bush couldn't? Double standard much? And don't get it twisted, Johnny. Listen, I'm not saying that you shouldn't keep yours. You should. I'm just saying that Reggie should have never lost his. Guy was by far the best football player in 05. Hell, one of the best college football players ever that season. Believe me, long before anybody was saying he was him, he was him. And there isn't one thing that we can all agree on, but if there is, it's that he should have never been singled out the way he was. Unfairly, historically. So give the man his trophy. It should have been returned a long time ago. It should have never been ripped in the first place. And get this, Trojan Honks. Here's another win for you. Your school can now say scoreboard on Heisman Trophy winners. That's right. With Reg getting his back, you now have 8. One more than the Ohio State. One more than Oklahoma. One more than Notre Dame. Scoreboard, Trojan Honk. Get those flags back out. Go ahead, celebrate. Just whatever you do, JXP. Don't make this about Oge. Don't try to use this as an opportunity to bring back Juice Miss. Don't say that we need to get his back so it can be buried alongside of him and we need to celebrate Juice Miss yet again. He sold his. They didn't even take his. He sold his. And then try to get it back. I already played that audio last hour. Or memorabilia. Reg moved his parents into a nicer house. Juice removed 2 human beings permanently from their houses. Can I repeat that? Reg moved his parents into a nicer house. Juice removed 2 people from the planet. So this is not about Juice. And there never will be another Juice Miss ever again. You had your Juice Miss. You had your one day. V, I don't need you calling up and trying to sing. Not about the 12 days of Juice Miss. Don't do that ever again.
On the 12 days of Juice Miss, my true glove gave to me 12 dumbass jurors, 11 dancing Edos, 10 counts in Vegas, 9 inch plays, 8 Bill Walsh's, 7 Chloe is OJ's kid, 6 Bronco Blessings, 5 syllables for Pedro Guerrero, 4 O's, 3 bloody steps, 2 severed heads, and a prostate that gave OJ's a disease that he couldn't beat.
You know how good that is? I'm not sure what my favorite day of the 12 days of Juice Miss is, as interpreted by V. Maybe that one. Is that yours, Alvy? Anyway, V, don't do that. Save your voice for Friday, dude. You know, a day after your Lakers' next loss, my guy. You'll need your voice for that day. Today is about Trojan non-Juice fam. Very good day for them, and a great day for Reggie Bush and Justice. Should have never lost it. Glad he got it back. Wapner is in. Hey, Jim, I'm pretty sure the penalty on Reggie Bush is for life, for life, for life. Signed, Commissioners. Commissioners. It's good, but it's not for life. Couple of decades, but not for life. So Commissioners did not bring that down. It was the Heisman Trust that brought that down. For life. Hey, listen, I've got to tell you guys about this. So the other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around, a product that I now carry around. It's something different for fresh breath. It's this amazing product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is an absolute game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. If it's not, they won't hear what you're selling or saying anyway. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't. Because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. Clinically tested against the toughest offenders like garlic and onions even. You just pop two or three in your mouth. You suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. This product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth, and then it goes down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. It's that strong. You're going to love having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath or your money back. That's right, or your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you'll want it, but they will. They have free shipping if you order three packs or more. And trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping, right? So go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com right now. Do it now and you'll get 15% off when you use my promo code ROME. That's Zelmins.com. But you have to use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, to get your 15% savings. Do it. Do it right now. All right, let's go to the phones. We go to Phoenix. Lewis. Hey, Lewis, I appreciate you being patient. What's going on? How are you?
Jim, thanks for taking the call, and let me just give the beefers, which that segment needs no help, but some fodder for Thursday by saying I'm a second-time caller, but first since 1994 or 5, whatever that time was in advance of the Phoenix tour stop. So good memories there. I just think it's time to add the Suns to the list of these failed super team experiments. And, you know, it obviously started with the trade for KD. By the way, trade deadline day trade for KD, which not only was the trade deadline, it was our new owner's first day owning the team. I think it happened officially in that morning. He then comes in and sort of muscles through this trade for KD, gives up Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, two of the favorite sort of homegrown players that were part of that real connected unit that, you know, had just played in the finals 2 years before, had the horrific Game 7 loss at home to Dallas after sort of, you know, leading that series and just a total meltdown in that Game 7. So it hasn't worked. I mean, we were patient last year. KD was sort of hurt when he first came over. We lost to a great Denver team. They go out and get Bradley Beal, another trade, bring in sort of another shooting guard. You know, we already have Devin Booker. We don't address the point guard need. They move on from DeAndre Ayton for, you know, Nurkic, basically, which is fine. There were definitely issues with Ayton and him having him help us get over the hump. But I think my real issue here is, so our owner's all in, Jera. This is a real all-in owner. This is a guy that had no problem getting rid of Monty Williams, you know, who was just the coach of the NBA coach of the year before, paid him off, brought in Vogel, who I like, you know, in a sort of Rick Carlisle way. I think he's an older school.
I'm not running you for anything that you said. But if I don't run you, you won't stop saying it. You would have taken me right to the top of the hour without any problem whatsoever. I mean, you were just settling in, brother. Let's go to Anaheim Hills. As I'm efforting KCP, John in Anaheim Hills. John, what's going on? How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. So were you really at that show?
I was not only at the show, but I had one of the merch booths selling T-shirts. So I had an all-access pass to anywhere I wanted to go. So I was backstage, you know, just chilling. And Prince walked by me as he was going out to do his set. And I'm going, who is this guy in a purple zoot suit with a purple fedora, all 5 foot of him, walk by me? I kind of laugh, like, what is he doing here? He goes out on stage. He gets a couple songs. So it's 100 degrees out. people are shirtless, they're hot, they're sweaty, they've been sitting there for hours. Not only did they boo him off the stage, they threw anything and everything they could at him. Tennis shoes, water bottles, frisbees, you name it, it was flying up on stage. It was absolutely insane. So, and then the guy, as he was done, he left the stage, walked off. He walked by me again. He had a towel to his forehead. I think he might have been bleeding, got hit by something. And then the next act out was George Thorogood. And Thorogood gets to the mic, and the first thing he says is, "What the F was that?" And then the crowd went wild again, and the show went on.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Let's go to Baco. Ron in Baco. Ron, don't be lying about that. I really need to know. Were you at the show?
Yes, sirree.
What do you remember about it?
What I remember, I mean, Pete, I don't know if you know Jay Giles' band, but Peter Wolf kind of emulates Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger's not the most masculine man in the world either. And but when Prince came out, yeah, it was definitely unexpected. But, yeah, bottles were flying. People were pissed off. And then about 30 years later, my wife wanted to go see Prince. I didn't want to go. I went along, and probably I've seen 100 concerts, one of the top five shows I've ever seen.
That's a great take, dude. I love that. That's awesome. So Ron and Baco, Rackham. Baco, baby. He just said it. I was at the first show. I didn't want to see it. I didn't expect it. I was pissed off. But then years later, my wife wanted to see Prince, and we went, and I've seen hundreds of Don in Santa Cruz. Don, for real, were you at that show?
Indeed, Jim, yeah. I was 16. Everything I've heard so far is true, except I think there was 3 songs, and then he turned around and said, fuck off. I'm sorry.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Dude.
You don't like that car. No. You don't like that car.
I don't like that car. Not a very good car.
We are joined right now by Kentavious Caldwell Pope. Kentavious, it is great to have you on, especially, I know you worked hard to make it happen. How you doing? Great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for coming on the program. So let me ask you, the Nuggets have had so many big wins in recent years that when it happens now, it's really not that big of a surprise. You kind of come to expect it, even coming back from 20 down against a LeBron James, Anthony Davis-led squad. That said, what did it feel like to see Jamal Murray beat the buzzer in game 2, and what were your biggest takeaways from that win?
For Jamal, man, for me, that was just, it was a big-time play, man, by a big-time guard. You know, he was struggling the whole night. And as his teammates, you know, and brothers, you know, we just stayed in his ear and told him to keep shooting, stay with it. And down the stretch in the fourth quarter, the last 2 minutes, man, I don't think he missed a shot. And just for him to see the ball go through like that and then have a buzzer beater like that, you know, I feel like that's, give us a lot of energy, and we can feed off that, and then a lot of confidence for himself, you know, just going forward.
You know, he said as much after the game. He said, my guys said, just keep shooting it, just keep shooting it, keep shooting it, just do you. And it really speaks to that team and the chemistry and the bond you guys have. Like, for instance, when the Lakers had that 15-point lead at halftime, what was the mood like in the locker room, and what was Michael Malone's message to the team?
Our mood, it was the same. Like, we knew like we didn't play well. We knew the mistakes that we made and what we needed to correct. And Coach had the same message, like, just showing us on film, like, the mistakes we need to correct, you know, putting us in the right spot, giving us the game plan for the second half. And his move was just, like, we didn't play a bad half. You know, we didn't knock shots, and then we didn't get stops when we needed them. So I feel like the second half, we changed that around, changed some defensive schemes, and we got the job done. And that's why I wanted to answer your first question. Like, the takeaway from the game is, like, our confidence, our patience, our poise, and how we just react to being down 20. We never panicked, and we just played basketball and then got our stops and made shots down the stretch.
Dude, that was smooth, what you just did. Going back to my first question, I like that. So I thought one of the big turning points, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, my guest, I thought one of the big turning points Monday was when you threw down that savage dunk with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. That cut the lead to 11. Can you take me through the sequence? And then what did the energy in the building feel like when you did that?
When I got the outlet pass from Yoke, I had one thing in mind when that was attacking the rim. And no layups was needed. And I felt like me attacking the rim and throwing it down like that gave me energy, gave the team energy. The crowd wasn't expecting – I felt like no one wasn't expecting that one. And that gave us – like, the energy and effort we needed, like, and especially for myself, like, the team to stay locked in, because I know I wasn't shooting the ball well, but stay locked in defensively, and then just taking that energy and it trickling down to my teammates, and I think that just turned everything around for us.
Speaking of that outlet pass from Yoke, that was an incredible outlet pass from Yoke, but then again, I mean, I don't even know, dude. Like, I've run out of ways to ask the question. I've run out of ways to describe this guy. But have you ever played with, and you've been around some great, great players, but have you ever played with or seen anyone, much less a big, with a skill set like that? I mean, is there anything that guy can't do?
Yeah, man, Yoke never seems to surprise me. You know, and like you said, I've played with a bunch of guys, you know, that could play the game. But Yoke is... you know, just, he just plays at his own pace. And it's just so amazing to watch. Like, he's very skilled on that block. And he can step outside and knock down a three ball, 15 footer. So, like, yeah, there's nothing this guy can't do. You know, I've seen to realize that just playing with him for the last 2 years.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope joining us. Before I let you go, so you won a championship with the Lakers in 2020, so you've got firsthand knowledge of LeBron's greatness as a former teammate. Like, streaks happen in sports, even unusual streaks happen in sports, but did you ever think we would see somebody beat a team led by LeBron, who's still playing at an incredible level, beat a LeBron-led team 10 consecutive times the way you guys now have done to them?
No. I don't think I've seen it. Just being a part of it now just seems, you know, like, unreal, you know, because, like, they've had us down, like you said, like, the last game, they had us down 20. But, you know, that just goes back to, like, you know, why I love this team so much. Like I said earlier, like, We never panic when we up 20, down 20. You know, it's just all about basketball, and we play it to a T over here. Like, everybody hold each other accountable. You know, the ball is shared, you know, and that just keep everybody involved. But, like, just being a team, like, 10 times, it's hard to do, you know. And like I said, they've had games where it's close, where games where we had to win at the buzzer. So, like, just being a team 10 times is hard. But, like, just this team over here, man, it's amazing just to be a part of it.
I think you make such a great point. It's hard to beat any team 10 times in a row. So leave me with this one last thought. I'm curious. Like, I love your team. I love your organization. Michael Malone's one of my favorite coaches ever. How long, when they traded you, when the Wizards did, to the Nuggets in July of 2022, how long did it take you to realize that you had joined an organization that had the personnel and the coach and everything else that goes along with it to win an NBA title?
It didn't take long. Denver's been like, I've been watching Denver like since I've been on other teams, just watching Denver, how they play. And then one of my favorite series that Denver had was 2020 against the Clippers. You know, just seeing how, like, down 3-1 and then they come back to win it, and just how they played together, you know, the team chemistry. And like I said, when I got traded, they made it easier for me just join the team and fit right in. And I knew most of the guys from, like, throughout my years. And it just made it so much easier for me to just be comfortable, be myself, and then bring my championship knowledge to the team.
He is a two-time NBA champion. He was a 8th pick overall back in 2013. In his 11th NBA season, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Kentavious, listen, I know how hard you worked to make that happen. I really appreciate you coming on the show, especially today and during this time, man. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Good luck tomorrow night.
Man, thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Good night, now!